Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, Andy Facemeyer, welcome back. Second time guest to Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Thanks for having me.
I mean,
excited to be here.
All right, well, it is a time of excitement, but we are coming off of, Andy, quite a season. Quite an off season, and then quite a season.
And one so, put it, yeah.
Yeah, and no mention of Eilert at the DeVries press conference. I'm not expecting that. Kind of got the well wishes when Ren Baker came out and said, I'm going to do the search now. But how will you remember, and you have to remember it, including the offseason that goes up to it, how are you going to remember this 2023-2024 basketball season?
I mean, I think it's hard to put it in context without understanding what the season could have been. I think particularly when you look at how wide open the conference ended up being in a situation where freaking Kansas finishes with like 10 wins. Like, so I think for me, it's a real missed opportunity for what it could have been if we were in a better timeline, which I think we'll get to. But I think as far as like, it's a lost season. You know, I think the biggest accomplishment for this team was killing the transfer rules. We killed the transfer rules in for what, 9 wins or something?
That's
just fantastic. But I think, you know, I think Josh was handed a not great situation. We did beat Kansas at home, which was fantastic. I think
the Pat Sumnick game.
The Pat Sumnick game, when for about 3 weeks, Pat Sumnick became an actual basketball player. So I think, you know, it's a difficult season. I think you look back on some of the bad seasons that we have lived through as WVU fans. And I don't know if it was as bad as the abortive Catlett's last season. It's hard for
the Hargett season, right?
The Hargett season, because like that season was another season where we had really high expectations, had a roster loaded with talent, and were bad, like really, really bad by the end of it. So
like,
it's hard
don't
for
make
me
the
to like
Big East
say
tournament
that,
bad.
Yeah, like it's hard for me to say this was the worst season of WVU basketball because I think there were some highlights. But certainly I think it's hopefully a forgettable season, and that we can put this in the rear view and move on with our lives.
Yes.
And we can talk about it, but I think it's also like, it's just a real, it's a real shame that this season went down the way that it did. It's sad in a lot of ways. But you know, I think that we will hopefully look back on it as a blip, and that we will get back to, you know, being competitive. And yeah, I think there's, you know, best wishes to everybody, but I think that was apparent that by the end of the season, no one wanted to be there anymore. Like everyone was over it.
Everyone was done. And yeah. it was a mix of, I think, Andy, when you think about what the ceiling could have been with hindsight, because the gang was all together the gang was all together for the last 13 or last 11 games, and they went 2-9.
Yeah,
with everybody healthy and available,
and you don't know if they had been. I mean, I think the what if about this season is if you had had Farrakhan and Battle available, or at least Battle and Kursa available for the beginning of the season, you presumably come into the Big 12 with more than 7 wins.
You beat Monmouth, you beat Radford. Like there's a couple, but then you look at it, Andy, and you're like, do they beat SMU?
I think they probably do. I think SMU. I think they would have had a shot at Virginia. I think they probably would have beaten UMass.
Maybe.
I think they could have beaten Ohio State. So, you know, I think that, like, you probably come in with a little more momentum into the non-conference schedule.
Right.
But the Big 12 is just, I mean, it's such a ringer every year. But and the thing, though, that I will take away, and Matt Kirchner and I have said this repeatedly, is that we were better than Louisville. And we were better than Michigan. And they constructed their rosters on purpose. Like, we threw our roster. Like, this roster was duct taped together in July.
Right.
And had injuries. I mean, you had Jesse Edwards missed a large chunk of the season. I don't think was ever really completely healthy after. And there were some roster construction issues. Just like, I think a thing was that, like, Farrakhan and Battle were both dudes who create their own shots, which is great. We haven't had that in a while. But it didn't make the most of Kreisa, right? Who is a creator for other people. He's an assists guy. And so, like, you just didn't. I think that, like, the takeaway from me was that Josh was given a bad hand, tried to do the most with it, but was clearly not quite ready to take over a Big 12 team in a bad spot. Right. That said, and I talked about this with some WVU folks when I was at the one game that they won in December, I think, or maybe one of the few. Well, I was at the Toledo game. You know, I think the thing about it was that a lot of coaches would have struggled under the circumstances.
Absolutely. And even that 2-9 that I laid out, it comes from all of the snake bitten not being together. Like, you can't put that in a vacuum and say everybody together, that's a 2-9 team. That's you got to factor all the pieces matter. It all fits together to what ended up.
They stayed competitive in a lot of those games. Like, they didn't, you know, they went into Hilton Coliseum, played better than we've played in Hilton in eons. You know, they played
Kansas State to overtime,
Octagon. They played pretty good against Texas Tech. You know, TCU, they were never really in that game, which is irritating for a variety of reasons. And the same with the game at Cincinnati, which was just like, Jesus Christ. But by that point, they were done. They were done. But, like, I think, you know,
yeah,
you know, I think that, like, it wasn't, this season could have been a lot worse. Like, this season could have been a lot worse than it was. So I think, you know, like I said, I hope that, like, at the end of the day, I wish everyone involved with this fiasco well, and that we're able to move on, and that in the rearview mirror, which some people should probably spend more time looking in, that we're able to forget about this season, and that we will have came together around an exciting new coach who's bringing a new brand of basketball. I think people are going to be really excited about that, which I think is closing on our next topic, maybe, or not. I can't remember.
We're close. Yeah. And this will be it. I mean, it is forward facing from here. It is kind of wipe your hands and go to the next era. Josh Eiler gets wished well in his future endeavors, and the coaching search gets underway. The candidate lists, the hot boards emerge. How did you ride that, Andy, the wave of here's all the candidates, here's the potentials? I mean, candidly, I had like a Will Wade phase. I had a Nico Medved phase, a Josh Schertz phase. Did you have some names early on of like, this is my platform, as far as who I want to be the next guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is that I had kind of known or thought, since I didn't have any inside information. So when I say no, I want to be clear about that. But I think, you know, thinking I had kind of figured, I never really thought Josh had much of an opportunity. And I think particularly after the way that the non-conference went. So I've really spent a lot more time watching mid-major basketball than normal.
Me too.
Kind of thinking about some of these guys. So I'd had my eyes, and I had had a list in mind in my head, because let's all be honest, like, the Hugs era was coming to an end eventually regardless. And so just kind of keeping a list. So I've had my eye on Byington for a while and liked him a lot. Had been, you know, he was kind of top of my names. Coach, and I will never get this right, DeVries.
Yeah.
DeVries, we're gonna struggle. We're gonna be
100%, right?
So I'd had him on my like list of people to keep an eye on. Schertz, obviously. I've never been a Will Wade guy. So I think it's because I just never thought that Stuart Hall would sign off on that.
Which ended up being true, like just almost like just, out of the gate of like not being considered.
Like, no, I just didn't think that, like, that is not the profile of someone who we are not the program. There are programs that do it, and I don't necessarily have a problem with giving. I think particularly given that, you know, what he did, like, once you look at context, that, like, it's not actually, like, giving a certain former Texas coach a second chance, or even a certain WVU coach a second chance, or third or fourth or whatever he's up to these days. It's a little bit different because what he's doing now is basically legal.
Like, it's, you know? It's above board now, right?
It's above board. But I think, like, I just think Will Wade, like, I don't think we were ever going to be the school to sign someone who has a show cause. And I don't think that given Del Conte, Chris Del Conte, who's Texas's athletic director, right? Mm-hmm. He talked one day, he was giving a speech about how someone was talking to him one day about coaching searches and fits. And he's like, people focus a lot on fit, and it's important. And often you are hiring retrogradely. You are basing what you were doing on what you had. And whether that's good or not, he wasn't making a statement about whether that was good or not, but he was just saying, like, a lot of times when you make a coaching hire, you are often doing it in response to who was there and who wasn't, like what was missing. And so I just think with all of the kind of like drama that was around Bob, it would have been a difficult thing to say, okay, well, we're going to go hire this guy who has a show cause.
Right.
So I never really got on the Will Wade train, but yeah, I think, you know, I thought Byington, I really liked him. I think I liked DeVries. I liked Kyle Smith. Kyle Smith, really, I think I kind of was late to the Kyle Smith train a little bit, but yeah, I thought the list that was coming out was as expected, I think.
As expected, and everybody outside of Wade, he's going to probably stay at McNeese State another year. Everybody's gotten a good job. I mean, I feel like everybody that was on the list was available, excluding, you know, Beeline early on and some.
Which I never really thought that was, you know, I always felt that was kind of a, like if Beeline was going to be the hire, he knew it, we knew it, and that decision would have been made.
Right.
A while right. ago.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I just, you know, and I like John. I think, you know, John did wonderful things here and at Michigan. He's a great teacher of basketball. I understand why people were interested and why you have to ask. But I didn't, that's not what I wanted. I wanted us to turn the page. It's the same reason why I don't want us to hire Rich Rod ever right. again.
Like, it's not a forward thinking idea. It's
move forward. Let's turn the page. Let's create new traditions and new history.
Right. And I think Ren Baker's done that with the hire of DeVries, Darren DeVries.
Darren DeVries. God,
we're yeah. From Drake. Boss. Right. How much of that were you consuming? And I downloaded the Mountain West channel on my Roku, and I was just consuming Drake through Indiana State. Like Curry Hicks Sage came on the podcast speaking the praises of Josh Schertz, watching them, loved them. They're in the NIT final and got to watch all three of those Drake games, all great games. And so that's how I consumed Drake. How much Drake did you watch this season? And what's your initial thoughts on the hire?
Yeah, I kind of had my eye on him, you know, last year even too, because they were in the tournament last year too. I mean, they made the tournament as a at-large bid, I think, last year. Not last year.
No, the first one they had, because
they made it.
Loyola Chicago.
2021, he made it as an at-large bid, which is actually
amazing,
pretty freaking impressive for the MVC. Especially that point in the MVC when they had the MVC had lost a lot of its talent, you know, whatever. So I'd watched a little bit. I'd watched enough Drake. I'd watched the Indiana State games. I was never as sold on Josh Schertz just because I feel like I want to see more from him.
More than three seasons of Division One.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley. Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to see a little bit more from him. And also like, I feel like he might be waiting on Indiana, especially now that May is gone. But I also will say that I have trusted Ren this entire time because I thought he's made, if you look at his history, he has made extremely good basketball hires everywhere he has been, including what he had done with the women's team. I mean, like you look at Mark Kellogg's team. You can make a case that we played Iowa better than LSU played Iowa. And that's a big part of Mark Kellogg. And so Ren, I had trusted Ren Baker to make a hire. So, you know, but I watched, you know, Drake, I watched Indiana State. I watched JMU and App State and, College of Charleston, and watched a lot of mid-major basketball this year.
I did too.
Watched a lot of mid-major basketball. And that included, you know, I watched bad mid-major basketball because I also have tickets to NAU games and we're hilarious. Which is actually how I had seen Battle. I had seen Battle play Northern NAU. I'd seen Battle in person, actually. So I was
when he was at Montana State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had seen him before. And knew that he was a baller. So, but yeah, so I watched a lot of mid-major basketball. I think consumed enough of the search to remember how our fan base has been very fortunate, in that we have not gone through a ton of high level searches in either of the two major sports in the last 20 years. And I don't think our fan base is always prepared for the insanity of search season. So I was glad that we actually got through search season with a minimum amount of drama.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Minimum amount of drama, and you can just push it back 40 years. I mean, you think on the football side, Nealon, Rodriguez was the easy hire after him. And then
you didn't really have a search after Rodriguez because
not really after Rodriguez, given how that transpired. Holgorsen's on. That was drama for a minute, but then that goes on, and then you bring in Neil Brown. Relatively quickly under the previous AD. And then on the basketball side, I mean, we're talking, the drama was the week of Doncic. Like it really, that's been it in 40 years. So we are not used to it. It's a good thing not to get used to it. And I'm looking at you, Louisville, as one of the names that you mentioned.
And I think they ended up with an okay hire, all things.
Oh, of course. They're excited about Kelsey. Yeah.
The fact that we're paying DeVries more than they're paying Kelsey is wild. Wild.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, I think that, like, what I will say about the search too is just, I think it was a credit to, Wren. And the athletic department, that they ran a very tight ship. There were a lot of things that were being said by people online that were obviously, they made me think that there wasn't actually a lot of information out there amongst, shall we say, the message board community and Twitter. And even some of the people who are really clued in, like you said, like Curry, Sage, or even, you know, Trilly Donovan, didn't really have a ton to say about our search, because I don't think that they really were, like, running. They ran a pretty tight ship, which I is, to me, good. I know that people enjoy search season content, but I was glad that we were able to just get the search done. You know, and that we didn't wait around. You know, there was some talk, you know, about, well, do you wait to see what happens to Byington? You know, do you wait to see what happens with the Duke game? And does that make a difference? And clearly Wren had zeroed in on Coach DeVries and made the call and got that business done as soon as the Michigan situation closed in. You know, didn't let that drama in our lives, because it could have gotten, you know, that was a position where that search could have started to derail a little bit, I think.
Sure. And you kind of seen it in, even at Oklahoma State, where I think where it got a little loony. I think ultimately they're going to be happy with the guy they got.
Where they supposedly had to wait on buyout money. Man, which again, Oklahoma State's another good example of, like, our season could have been bad, but, like, they constructed that roster on purpose. And they were bad.
They were bad. I like Boynton. He got Cade Cunningham. He got the...
I've never been a Mike Boynton fan. Like, I've always felt like he got a lot of unearned rep for simply giving Cade Cunningham's brother a job. I'm a hater. I'm like an unabashed hater of Oklahoma State in general. I never thought Boynton was the guy, but they also never gave him the kind of support that he needed to be the guy. Like, I want to be clear that, like, Oklahoma State has, like, lagged, but, like, they have a financial mess They don't have a lot of NIL money. They don't have, you know, they're not in a great spot for recruiting anymore. You know, they're not in a great place.
That happened fast because, like, prior to NIL, it's like T. Boone Pickens, and they're like, they've just got this, like, one of the schools that you would say the money's
you
coming
would
think in
would be really, and well, yet, set up for the NIL, right, era, and they just really have not. They're one of these schools that just has not, and you see that in football too. I mean, it's something that Gundy complains about constantly. You know, like, that they need to invest in other ways. And it's like, well, maybe you should have used that T. Boone Pickens money a little bit better.
Yeah, right.
but yeah, so yeah, I think that I'm very pleased with how the search went. I think we got our guy. We narrowed it. We clearly had a focus, had an idea. I think sometimes you see searches where they don't have an idea of what they want, like Louisville. I think we got a little bit lucky in some ways too, because, you know, I could see if NC State just doesn't find a pot of unlimited luck, you know, it was Keats was on a very hot seat. Like, it was very possible that if they hadn't won the ACC, that he was going to get fired. And that's, you know, NC State's a job that's closer on our level, you know. Or if Ohio State doesn't make a baffling decision and hire the guy who was there, like, baffling,
right?
Like,
no, a lot of dominoes fell in line to make the search easier than what it could have been, for sure. And you have, I mean, NC State losing record in the ACC. McNeely's got to miss that free throw in the ACC tournament for them to get it to overtime and then win. I mean, you look at their record, no really terrible losses, not like no sub or plus 100 KenPom losses. But they had plenty of losses, and you're right. He was on the hot seat, and then he gets an extension, and they're still winning. And then Shedd gets his ankle sprain. That affects NC State too, because I think the luck would have run out with Houston. If Shedd doesn't get injured, I think, yeah, Houston gets to the Final Four. But who knows with NC State? Like, I mean, it would have been fun to see Burns against the Houston big guys and see how that would have played out. But yeah, no, a lot of things happened to make it an easier process. And I'm good with that. And have you seen any negative reaction to DeVries?
I think there was some, like, people getting ahead of their guys, like, oh, but I think once it was clear, I think people were very happy with the hire. He's, you know, obviously had success, plays an exciting brand of basketball. You know, it's not like, I think there were some names that could have been more divisive if we had hired them. But yeah, I think that people are generally happy with it, and I think they should be. I think, you know, we went out and got a really good head coach who's had a lot of success at a place that it is difficult to win at. I think people who are casual basketball fans, right, might not quite understand just how big of a deal it is that the guy won 20 games every year at Drake and took them to 3 NCAA tournaments. Like,
oh, without that reference. And I mean, and it's just numbers that you're looking at, but you just go into the record books and see that's.
They've gone to the tournament 7 times and he's 3.
Done it. He's 3 of them. And then one of those guys, like, longtime assistant under Altman, stuck around when Altman leaves for Oregon, coaches under McDermott, doesn't leave until he finds the right thing. I'm sure he could have got a position before that, and could have got a position before this year. And so,
yeah, could have probably had
projecting
a job
for
last
the future.
Year.
Right. So projecting for the future, like, in my head, I'm going into this with this is probably a beeline situation where DeVries hangs for 5 seasons, knocks it out of the park, and goes to the next thing. But looking at his job history, that might not be the case. If he's successful here, it might be the next long-term coach and keeping that streak alive of not having a lot of coaching searches.
Which I think is, I think that's good. I would also just say from like an expectations thing, I think our fans need to understand our place in the pecking order in terms of like, if a Big Ten or an SEC school wants to offer a truckload of money to a guy, they now have the resources that just no one else does.
That's
and
right.
So like, and it means that we were successful. Like if Iowa is, if Fran McCaffrey retires in 3 years and Iowa wants to bring a truckload of money to Morgantown to pay a buyout or something, it means that we were successful and that we will be able to hire another successful coach because we've set ourselves up for it. So like, I think that it's a good point too, that I think that he has, he's shown a lot of loyalty to the places he's been. I also just want to like, for people who like aren't like have been as heavily involved in like WVU nonsense over the years, Dana Altman has been a guy that comes up in like, this is probably the first time in years that we have been remotely in like a possible coaching search situation and Dana Altman's name didn't come up. But so it's really funny that we ended up with a Dana Altman guy. And the Dana Altman connection is always so weird because it's like he coached at Marshall or something for like a year.
Right. Quick in and out.
It's like some very mild connection that we had with Dana Altman. And that Dana Altman like came up every year in any kind of conversations about, you know, WVU's position over the years. So it is kind of funny to me that we ended up hiring a Dana Altman guy.
Marshall, proud, proud Dana Altman year and the Billy Donovan years. So a proud coaching history there in Huntington. So
this is not a Marshall podcast, but like,
no,
their coaching search is
look,
so
you just got to look at it. Well, and this coaching search is just like, all right, we've already been talking about coach in waiting. He's out. But even there was reporting of, I think Trilly Donovan was one of the people of where they were asking, am I in good shape? And referencing Marshall as the coach who's going to him saying, have you heard anything about my job status?
But no, he was coach in waiting this whole time. Come on. We're none of us are that stupid.
You don't believe that, Andy?
No, I do not believe that. There's a lot of things that I'm willing to give people a lot of like, you know what? Okay. But like just the idea that Marshall's coaching search had really been settled for a year plus and that no one knew that and that they had discussed that at their Board of Governors meeting.
Right.
Convenient that Board of Governors meeting doesn't have any minutes because it was in private session. Convenient. Yeah.
I mean, it all tracks to me. I don't know this.
You know, they do things differently down in Huntington.
Also, Donnie Jones, who made the tournament with Stetson this year, so proud coaching history.
I'm from like Braxton County, so like we're at that line of where you get Marshall, where you would get like Marshall friendly media, and so like I have this irrational distaste for everything about Marshall. That is unearned. It's completely unearned.
You didn't like the Jason Williams season?
Oh God! You know, under
Billy Donovan.
Yeah, I remember that. All right. So back
not
to
a Marshall.
WVU.
Yeah, not a Marshall.
Not
podcast.
A Marshall podcast.
So let's leave it with this, and it is a sincere timeline question because. Let's say let me pose this to you, Andy. The events of May and June of last year don't happen. If you count this year, you've got two timelines to choose for WVU basketball. You've got the timeline where May and June doesn't happen, and it's Huggins, and it might be Huggins 4 years from now. You get five more years of Huggins, or a Huggins steps up per his contract and has some say with Wren, even though I may not buy that Huggins is involved in the next guy. But you get 5 years of that, or it transpires the way it has, where you have the 2023-2024 season and, knocking on wood, 4 years of DeVries.
Yeah.
What is the better timeline for WVU basketball?
It's so hard because, like, I think Bob took a little bit to learn the portal, but I think he would have been.
The roster coming into this season, if it doesn't open again, is not a last place Big 12 team.
It is and I think, given what we knew about how this season went, with Kansas being as down as Kansas has been in like 20 years, with the openness of the season, like freaking Iowa State, like I'm a hater. But like, you know, the season ended up being very, I think we would have been very competitive. I think we would have had a really good chance to have a very high seed. Now, whether we did anything with it or not, the Bob tournament record is either you go really deep or you lose in the first weekend in hilarious fashion. So I don't know, but I think that, like, at a human level, right, being very honest, I would have preferred for someone who I talked about this last year. I think I have a very hard time being rational about Bob because he reminds me in a lot of ways, both his good parts and his destructive parts, with my father. And so I have a hard time with that. Mm. And so on some level, on a very human level, I would have preferred to not have to go through this. And I think for taking a step back as a program level, obviously I think this would have been a very successful year. And I think it could have set us up for another couple years of success. I think we saw, though, that it was good, you know, that whenever Bob's time to go out the door, that it was never going to be easy. I think the summer showed that was never going to be a clean process. And so from that perspective, I think that being able to make a very clean break and not having, I want to give Ren a lot of props to for not giving in this summer and making a hire that I think we would have regretted down the road. Nothing against Andy Kennedy. I think he's perfectly fine at UAB, and I think that's great for him. I don't think he was the person we wanted to hire, and I don't think that hiring a Bob guy was the hire to make. I think this was an opportunity to move on with our lives. And so I think in that way it enabled us to make that decision in a way that I think would have been really difficult otherwise. I think it would have taken a lot of capital to make
yes.
that otherwise. But yeah, I think on a very personal and a very human level, I would have much preferred for the summer never have happened and us to, you know, for someone who I have a lot of feelings about to get help and not be in the position that he was in.
So, right.
That's my human kind of jokes aside. Like, I think that's my preference, but I think all things considered, it did allow us to make that kind of clean break.
I'm going to cut it at the back at the part where you left it at that. And then I'm going to start talking about this part where I'm going to wrap it up. Andy Fazemeyer, Smoking Musket contributor, thank you for coming back to Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always happy to talk shop, and hopefully in a couple of months we'll have a roster together and we'll know what our fall non-conference schedule will look like. I'm really curious about how Coach DeVries is going to handle that. So I think there's a lot to be excited about for WVU fans going forward.
I agree. Bronny James to Morgantown. Do you have that?
No, I don't have that. I don't.
Thank you, Andy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.